The topic of sex and love is one that has been sort of played with for centuries by the world. Now, man, in his original creative genius, was sexually attracted to his mate like a dog in the mating season. And so man and woman had sex together, like dogs have sex together, at the time that they're in season. And then all the rest of the time, they have a relationship with one another of the purest love, of caring about one another, of loving for one another, of tending with each other. They're a team, and then they're taking care of their children. They're taking care of their world. They're taking care of their cave, their house, their apartment, whatever they live in. But you see, before man mutilated and mutated the sexual drive from being something that was just a normal experience that came in season, and man has seasons too, he has changed it into an all-time playground. And so sex no longer is something that is beautiful and lovely and fulfilling for people. It is something you have to do. The court says the woman has to make sex with the man. And if the woman doesn't make sex with the man, then the marriage is not consummated. Well, now, what if the man doesn't make sex with the woman? Then is it not consummated too? Well, you see, the laws are written by the men. But the women are the ones who back up the men in doing whatever they're doing. Now, leave out of the idea sex as an act of a penis and vagina. Leave that out of there. That's just something, if two dogs are having sex, you don't think a thing about it. You think they're in season and they're going to have puppies. Cats the same way, or any animals. Okay, but with man now, with man, sex becomes a manipulation. It becomes if you're nice to me tonight, you know, we'll go to bed together. Yes, and you see, that is totally erroneous. A man and a wife, like two dogs, can always be harmonious with each other, can always love each other joyously and harmoniously. They don't have to have the sex as some sort of a threat or some sort of desire. There's nothing wrong with them. I do not ever want to be quoted as saying there's something wrong with sex. I'm merely saying that it is used as a device for manipulation of relationships. And that, I say, is wrong, to manipulate a relationship with sex. It's done, has been done for centuries. It probably will be done for centuries more. But I guarantee you, when you wake up, to your spiritual quality, when you wake up to your master quality, then you will not engage yourself in it as a game. You will engage yourself in it as an act of procreation, as an act of marriage perhaps, but whatever, but it will not be a manipulation. Now, we talk about walking our spiritual path. And I say to you, anytime you are not the master of your habit, whatever that habit may be, you are not walking your spiritual path. You are very much walking your human path. You are very much walking the path of the demand of the body, the demand of the mind. Sex is mind more than physical. But it's the demand of the body, the demand of the mind, the demand of the neighbors doing things, you know, of seeing things done. The neighbors have a lovely swimming pool in their backyard, and so you have to have one, you know, and what have you. But the thing is, so long as we are manipulated by our habits, and that habit could be eating, drinking, sleeping, it could be sex, it could be our work, it could be that we have to have our house so clean that it is an anathema for anyone to come into the house and enjoy the house because it's so clean, you know. Like the women who take the ashtray away the minute you flick an ash in it, you know. course, that's a passé now, but the thing is, it used to be quite experienced. I say to you, I sound like an old nag, but in the Illumination Handbook of Ascended Masters, in the doctoral course, on the chapter on sex, I said, whenever a person loses their direction to sex, they fall harder than anything else. Mm-hmm. And the fall is great. And of course, you all know about that. You've all seen that happen. That sex almost knocked down President Clinton, remember? Mm-hmm. And most of the other presidents have had affairs which could have destroyed them too. And because they think they're so great. They're the president, the greatest person in the world. And they can save people from prison, from being killed in death row, and they can commute sentences, and they can create a war and have people go to war and have people by the thousands killed in a war because they said the wrong thing in a diplomatic turn to another country. Well, you know, you get a big head when you think that you're the president and you can your life and death are in your hands. I was thinking to myself, we're going to Africa. And in Africa, the value of life is not too great. Now, people who are known, people who are sincere in themselves and they desire to accomplish something, their life is pretty valuable. But most of the people would do anything for nothing, you know. They would work for a penny if they could get one, because there are just not too many jobs. And there are a lot of poor people in Africa. There's a lot of poor people in the United States, too. And there are a lot of poor people in the United States who would do anything for a buck. They would lie, they would steal, they would cheat, they would kill, they would do anything. And the same in any other country. So, you see, I was thinking, how unfortunate. If we go to Africa and we tell these people, now if you change your attitude about yourself, if you begin looking at yourself as the creator of your world, as a wonderful, dramatic, dynamic being that can have anything you want, any experience you want, anything you want, and I start telling these people those things, they're going to say, well, I want riches and I want this, and that is true. But first, you have to do this little task first. And that little task is to be the master of your habit. And if you have a habit that says you're poor, that habit's going to rule you until you dispose of it, put a new habit in motion. If you have a habit that says you are not worthy of a good job, you're worthy maybe of making a living so that you could eat, then that habit will destroy you. If you have a habit that says, like when Martin went to Zimbabwe, wherever, to be married to his wife, and the mayor of the town said, you don't understand the French I'm speaking, do you? He said, no. Well, here's what I'm saying. Do you want one wife or more? If you want more than one wife, you must say so now at the wedding. And your wife must bow to your every wish, and she must do everything. And if you want to kill her, you can. If you want to do this, you can. Oi, 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 you know. I mean, these are said right out. The value of life. What's the name of the place? The value of life is very, very serious. The name of the place where he went. No, 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 no. What's the name of the country where Martin?
Cameroon. Yeah.
Cameroon. Cameroon. Yeah, I'm sure you guys knew it, you know, because you're talking about it all the time. But now, how would you like to live in the Cameroon and be a wife under those circumstances? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be fascinating? Mm-hmm. Be fascinating. Can you see why she wants to live in Switzerland? Wise lady. Okay, now, be master of your habit. Be master of your habit. So long as sex is used as a weapon or a tool, so long as there is ever such a thing as rape, so long as there is ever such a thing as violence of sex, of anyone forcing themselves upon another person for any reason at all, then it is not love, obviously. And it is not sex. It has to be violence. It has to be rape. It has to be something else. Because let us not put the two words together, sex and rape and sex and love. Because doing that, we are making a travesty of the whole thing. And of course, we've already made a travesty of the whole thing. So I say to you, if you are a spiritual being, and you are, if you want to walk your spiritual path, and I believe you do, then you are going to be unconditionally loving of yourself and everyone in your world, needing nothing from them, participating in eating together, sleeping together, talking together, doing things together, but not of necessity for your unconditional love. When Bhagwan allowed sex to happen on the campus, he told his staff, he says, I think you've gotten my message at all. He says, I don't teach that. I don't recommend it. He says, this is not the thing to do. If you do it, you're going to bring a very heavy burden down upon you. You see, once they did one thing, then they felt they could do other things, and all sorts of great tragedies took place for them. And all sorts of great tragedies take place for you guys. Every time you think that you mentally can allow this to take place, that you mentally can allow you to not be master of your habits. And if you're not master of your habit, you're nothing. You are the lowest of the low. You are the most undeveloped, the most unredeemed, if you can say that, being on the face of the earth. Because when you're a master of your habit, step by step, everything works out. Roger said his son Roger was going to Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and parenting class. Now, that's not going to change him from using alcoholics, narcotics, and being a bad parent. But it might at least put him in the right direction. So I say to you, if you are so confused by thinking that sex is copulation, then so be it. If you are so confused as thinking that sex is love, so be it. If you think that sex is the necessary part of marriage, so be it. What would happen if a man and woman got married and they didn't have the equipment to have sex together? Could they not love each other, and could they not have a relationship that was utterly spectacular without having copulation? Oh, you know all about
it. I'm sure they do.
You know all about it, huh? I'm glad you do. Okay, but do you understand what I'm saying? It's like saying that when you're dried up and you're just a couple of old hags and you're walking down the twilight trail of life together and you've got no more sexual push inside of you, that you have no reason to be together.
Mm-mm.
Wouldn't that be sad?
Yeah, that would be sad.
Wouldn't that be sad?
Yes.
Yes.
It would be.
Because
we don't know it in our world, and we don't tend to. Okay, I say this to you because it is something that needs to be said, and I want you all to be on top of it. I want you to honor yourself, and when you honor yourself, then you will not dishonor anyone else. And you dishonor anyone else whenever you go around acting like everyone is your equal. Because you are number one. You are the top of the branch. I am not in your branch. I am like the sky. And the sky has nothing to do with you. It merely is in your environment as something to breathe and to drink in. But it's just an example. And my whole life is a dedicated example to all of you who wish to see it, if you will look at it and not judge. And then you will say, yeah, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this. I'm following this because it is the ideal. And that's the direction I want to go. We'll talk more about this, but for the moment, I think that gets us a good start. I love you.
Yes.